This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, one in the books, two to go, plenty more of The Big Bad Show.
Hey, we got a couple texts. Can I read these? One of them is for Nick. It says, I hear Nick playing Sublime at the break. Is he getting stoned and going to the concert Thursday night in the Woodlands?
Everybody, I mean, if you listen to the show long enough, you know that Santeria track is a...
That's like a staple.
Are you a big Sublime guy? Or?
Yeah, I've always been a big Sublime guy.
Are you going to go?
It's my wife's favorite song.
I probably should. I probably should, but yeah, I mean, that song, I just love that.
You're a big-time radio producer. Why don't you just get free tickets?
I could probably do it if I put enough effort into it.
You get your phone and get on your content. Oh.
Yeah. That was too
damn
soon.
It.
Wait till I get my phone. I was going to call him last night, and I'm like, why am I calling a guy in Vegas?
Hey, yeah, right.
So why would I do that?
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to a guy that's texting on the text lines and trying to troll me for the last 2 days. Shout-out to Keith. Dude, it's so easy to take a number and just look up who owns it. And you know that they work at Exxon and all these other things. Just, you know, you might chill a little. Hey,
Keith, when you think you are cowardly keyboard confident, you're not so anonymous.
Just all good, though.
That is badass. Yeah, I can't wait for you to do those for the ones that troll me.
I just delete them. I block the ones. I've just started blocking everybody. It's like, whatever.
That's okay.
For those
hatred ones, we've got plenty more good ones. And we appreciate those of you that are loyal with good pods.
Right. I mean, have some fun, but you don't have to be an a-hole.
No, for sure. Hey, you were talking yesterday, and I had talked about it in the past, about, you know, one of the things why I'm critical of Rick Smith is his inability to draft.
Yep.
And you had mentioned some of that.
Well, yeah, because Strong was a third-round pick. They moved up.
Right.
They gave up their own third, a fifth and a seventh, plus Devere Posey, who they drafted in a third the previous year. So they gave up a haul to get a guy that caught 28 passes in the NFL over 2 years.
There was the series of... I think it was a third, a fourth, and a fifth round pick in the same draft. All got caught with marijuana in a hotel. They all got cut 1 year. So with Jalen Strong's release, 14 of the 18 Rick Smith draft picks between the second and fourth rounds between 2011 and 2015 no longer are with the club. Thanks to Jong and Dustin and guys on Twitter who did some research. The Patriots, during the same amount of time, had three more draft picks. Eight are still on the team. And the Cowboys had one more draft pick than the Texans. Seven still on the team and one suspended, so technically still there. So that's eight in either case by two other franchises and a goose egg for your Texans.
That's so depressing.
It's not so good.
No, it's not good at all. It's so depressing. I don't even know. Like, I feel like that we've said just about everything that can be said about his abilities as a GM and to draft. Now, when I was going over the list yesterday, there are some names that you look at and go, oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know, a guy that you saw last night playing for the Lions and Clover Quinn. Fantastic safety. They just didn't keep him. But he was drafted by Rick Smith. So you've got to give him credit for some of the names. I mean, he went out and got Dwayne Brown. First round pick, but I almost feel like you shouldn't get credit for the first or second round, but you also shouldn't be dinged for the sixth and seventh round. I think what makes a good GM is what you do in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds of a draft. Now, if you get somebody that's great in the sixth or seventh, okay, yeah, that's good that you got lucky.
Right.
If there's a bust every once in a while in the first or second, that's true too. I mean, that's going to happen. You know, you do your due diligence, but. I really feel like it's that third through fifth round when you is how you earn your money as a GM. And those are the rounds he hasn't done all that well in.
Could be a kicker in the third round.
Could be.
But look, it's a huge part of what you do. And the thing is, to your point, everybody expects your first and second round draft picks either to be starters immediately or within the first 1 to 3 years. But what you're talking about is whether they're special teams or quality backup guys that are climbing and learning until the point by years 3 through 5 when they are expected to be key contributors to your team, like not necessarily stars, but whether they're starting or they're a nickelback in a defensive back situation or one of your valuable multiple position offensive linemen, things like that. But when you look at those numbers, they don't lie.
That's bad.
Nothing to show for... a 4 year span between the second, third, and fourth. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what
that's
else.
That's why
I mean,
said you got to clean the slate with both guys if it's going to be like this any further. Because look, you survived. I didn't say you. I don't want to say you flourished, but you 9-7s and division championships, and even last year you caught a Raiders team without Derek Carr, and you won.
Careful.
Yes, Derek Carr. So you caught a break there. You've beaten Cincinnati a few times in the playoffs, but overall, you don't live up to the expectations that either you set for your own team, your team sets for themselves, or your fan base sets for you. So at a certain point, you either wallow in the same puddle or you decide to just clear the slate and start over.
If Deshaun Watson proves to be a top, we'll split it. We'll say top 12. Consistently top 12. Does everyone get a pass?
Say that again now?
If he ends up being, if he's a top 12 caliber quarterback year in and year out for the next couple, 3-4 years. We know Rick Smith's going to be around.
Yeah. Does he get a pass?
Does that improve his standing in your eyes if they made the leap of faith, they moved up, they mortgaged the future, they gave up next year's number one? I mean, they went all in, and if they were right, does that renew your confidence in Rick Smith as a GM?
It's a start. It doesn't renew all my confidence, okay, but it's a step in the right direction. However, then we get to next year's draft after you look like you're crapping the bed a little bit this year, and then you go, well, in the first round, in the second round, because that was was a move made to get the guy you're talking about, but the second round pick was given away to basically try and erase memories of a bad move you right? made the year before.
That's a great point.
I will give you a step in the right direction, but we ain't exactly two-stepping yet, let alone slow dancing.
That's a great point.
So that's what I got on that front. But we'll see. Texans and Patriots this weekend. Jalen Strong, as we mentioned, cut yesterday. Interesting to see what they do at the receiver position. I threw the question out there last night of names that might be out there. Our own Robert Harris, who does a great job working here at Gown Media, threw out the name Victor Cruz, which I hadn't thought of in the past. But if he's healthy, at least an experienced receiver that maybe can take a little off of D-Hop, can give you a little something if he's got a little something left in the tank. He was cut by the Bears in the cuts this preseason. But look, he's been there, done that.
Hold on, though.
It's true.
If you can't make the Bears out of camp.
That's a good point.
By the way, got a text from Keith. Now I know it's Keith because I can see the number. Well played, Barry. You got me, sir. So, yeah, just have fun. Be nice. That's all we're asking.
That is awesome.
That's all we're asking.
I love the fact that having done this as long as we have and just over a year's time, we've already figured out the idiosyncrasies that can turn the tables in a heartbeat on people.
Yeah, that makes it fun.
Which is fantastic.
Oh, hey, the guy that asked about my ear problem
texted
back, and I'm assuming it's the guy, and I probably shouldn't.
It was your ear problem?
Yeah, we have like Mandy and Lauren and a ton of listeners that aren't men, so I apologize for assuming gender. Tonsil stones. Not ear.
Oh.
Yeah. No news. No new update. It's still in there.
Can I tell you what?
I don't know if it's coming out a little at a time or if it just decided it's going to incubate some more and wait, but I don't really feel it all the time.
I remember the way the tool used that could help you.
Is it forceps?
You were going to use a freaking kebab. Stick.
No, that was what. Yeah, I couldn't do that because I got to
bring one in for you.
I got to have somebody hold the light too.
Well, Nick was going to bring in the tiki torch too, so that he could hold it there, so you could see what you were doing. But I'm telling you right now, when you buy a new toothbrush, at the end of the toothbrush, there's that little like rubbery nipple thing with the kind of that'll do it.
What is that for? Is that for your teeth?
I always thought it was like trying to like clean if you had something stuck between your teeth.
And I've only seen old people with those toothbrushes.
But I'm saying if you can still find one with one of those things on the end of it, I'm telling you what, that'll pry loose more if you need to.
I've taken the metal hook that you clean your teeth with.
That's disgusting.
And tried to pull that thing out, and it's not budging.
How you didn't come up with just nothing but blood in your mouth?
Yeah. It's not budging, though. The thing is so hard, you can hear it scraping. Like, if you were to take it and scrape it against brick, you would hear, that sound?
Like when you go to the dentist and they use that thing and you can just hear the grating and the...
I'm ready for it to come out, though. I'm ready to have
this
baby.
It's still there?
I'm ready to have this tonsil baby.
And you feel it?
Yes. On occasion, especially like at night.
Barry needs a C-section so he can have the tonsil baby. If anybody can help, just bring a scalpel to the office. We'll let you cut him wide
open. So the same guy that was asking about it said to use tweezers. My wife, because the only tweezers we have in the house are all my wife's. Yeah, the house. All my wife's tweezers for
She's
her eyebrows.
Not gonna let you use that for that.
Oh, hell no.
She will murder you if you do that.
I did something with her tweezers once. I don't remember what the hell I was doing, but I needed something to like to pick up something or whatever. So I went and just got her tweezers.
Pick a thorn out of your foot or something.
Well, I don't even remember what it was.
For something else.
I got in so much trouble. I got in so much trouble because I ruined the tweezers, and she has to go out and buy new tweezers now. This was a while back.
So Lisa's,
and they're like
$20
for a pair of tweezers.
First of all, I don't want anything like the metal dentist. I don't want that in my mouth. And indeed, there's a whole lot that could go wrong with that. But I want to ask you about that. If you're married, right, you can use the same things, right? So Lisa's got a sinus infection.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that the 24-hour care prescribed was the nasal spray, the high-powered nasal spray. And I had some. I think I maybe used it once.
You're talking about we talked about this the other day, the Flonase.
Flonase, yeah. Right. And I go, oh, so I got some. It's in the cabinet. Just go ahead and use it. She goes, wait a minute. Did you use it? I'm like, does it matter? We're married. I mean, I don't understand. She's, that's kind of, but yeah, that's one. I'm like, oh, my, then don't use it. Go buy some new ones. I could not believe it. That one to me, I just, like in our house.
So she won't like eat off of the same fork as you?
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. I haven't asked her. We haven't gotten. A restaurant, she might try what I'm eating. Yeah, but more
that's
likely
crazy
than not,
to me.
I would say no.
I have things I'm not going to say. I'm just not.
I'm just airing it out there.
No. I'm just saying that makes no sense to me, but I won't even give you my just. I'll tell you off the air, but okay. I won't give it. It's too vulgar. And if I'm telling you it's too vulgar for air, then you know it's bad.
Wow. Okay, so we continue to roll on. We've got lots more to get to. Astros tonight against the White Sox, if you're wondering, because they are a game and a half behind the Indians for best record in the American League. The Indians opening up a series in the Big A of Anaheim against the Angels tonight. So at least the Angels are playing for something.
I was going to say,
the scenario is there. Let's just not forget that your Astros took on the White Sox in Chicago not long ago and got swept.
That's not going to happen. Not going to happen again.
Because Colin McHugh's going to mow him down tonight.
Not going to happen again.
Lawn boy on the hill mowing him down. No?
Lawn boy?
Yeah, because he's going to be mowing him down. No. By the way, reports are that your boy McCullers had a bullpen session that didn't go so well. Time is running out. We got to get that guy right, or you just got to move on. That's disappointing to hear.
You move on.
Not for the long term, but for this year, you got to figure out what you're doing pretty quick here for the playoff rotation.
Yeah.
We can talk about it on the flip side, but that's one thing to kick around. The other thing is, like I said, Astros on the diamond tonight at home against the White Sox. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the big show to follow. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yes, I do. Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects.
What were you guys talking about in the break?
I'll say it. I thought about it. I'll say it. You want me to say it? Joel was like, no, please don't.
I mean,
you just.
It's pretty obvious, but I mean, it's. Look. People are talking about
the
other thing.
My bad, man.
People talk about the fact, and I heard this, and even when I was in the NBA, it was funny because all the broadcasters talk, and they, in the media room, they eat before games. And I can put it as mildly as some of the players that were color commentators put it was a little bit harsher, but essentially I was like, look, and even with the baby, she's so worried about germs with the baby, it was crazy to try and build her immune system up because she's so over the top. And they're like, oh, that's all right. Cedric Maxwell was one of them. He was like, look, man, your first one, they're going to be over the top. The second one, they could fall in crap. You could roll them around and pick them up, and they'll just be like, just wash him off and let's go because we got to get to the store before it closes. And he's like, it's like, second one will be a lot easier. I go, man, I sure hope so because this first one, I come home from work. I mean, I've washed my hands several times when I've been here. I get home. They can't get Taylor to eat. I walk right in. Oh, daddy's home. I give her a piece of peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She's eating it. And my wife's just giving me the death glare, like, and you know, look at the hands. Look at me. Like, I'm like, all right, I'll go wash my hands.
But you've told the story about, you know, the incident at the daycare, right, on the air?
Which one?
Where she got really sick for like a long time.
Oh, yeah, because when we had her from birth to, the, you know, for the first 8 months or so, she was so sheltered because she was always just in our house and with either her mom or, you know, that she didn't have any exposure to germs. And then all of a sudden she got sick like three times in, you know, a 6 week period, and they were major illness. We all got them too.
Yeah, that's what, the reason why I mentioned it is because I figured that'd be, I mean, because she was sick for quite some time. I figured that'd be at least some sort of immune builder, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I've gone through the same thing like with my ex-wife and even Nora to a certain degree. And my whole thing is, and without getting too down in the weeds with it,
but right,
we all do, I mean, we've all had sex with each other. There's not some clean stuff that's going on half the time, but you're worried about using my fork? Like, really? Like, that makes no sense to me. Then somebody texted the show. This is where I draw the line, though. Because somebody texted the show and said, my wife used my toothbrush when we were traveling because she forgot hers. I burned it afterwards. Yeah, I'm cool
with that too.
You would share a toothbrush?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
that. That's the most disgusting thing ever.
I accidentally used my spouse's toothbrush.
You kiss your wife?
And she went.
Yeah, but I don't kiss between her teeth where the leftover food particles are. That's too far.
I'm glad you have adopted the bird mentality of the peck and kiss move.
What are you flossing her with your tongue?
No, but at
what
least
the hell are you doing?
You're sharing spit, so the spit's rolling
it's
around.
Not
and what's
the
between
spit,
your teeth?
Joel, your toothbrush is getting food particles, like gingivitis. I'm not in there like trying to polish my wife's teeth or anything.
I'm not trying to do that either, but I'm just telling you, open mouth is not exactly
that's open
hygienic.
Mouth is one thing, but a toothbrush is disgusting. That's getting food and bacteria and germs off of the teeth.
It's not a good idea.
No, not at all.
Not to do it frequently.
That is the line. You can borrow a lot of things. You're not borrowing a toothbrush.
No, I was going to say on a regular basis. And believe me, if I would be okay with it, I don't think she would.
No.
That's pretty obvious.
No, I wouldn't be okay with that.
So you guys want to talk about a few of these 0-2 teams that exist in the NFC and AFC, also some of the 2-0 teams?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we were talking about the Giants and how bad they are at 0-2 and Clarence's Saints. But, yeah, let's bring it around a little bit. That's a good transition into more NFL, Nicholas.
All right, well, we can start in the NFC, who now have four teams that are 0-2. The Giants, the 49ers, the Bears, the Saints. Now, do you guys want me to go by team and ask you questions, or do you want me to just go by?
I would say, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you.
Let's start with the Giants. Let's skip the Giants because we recap the Giants, right?
They're just awful.
49ers, 0-2 team in the NFC. The second 0-2 team in the NFC. Bears is the third. Saints is the fourth. Which team do you think will make the playoffs, not make the playoffs, and who do you think will get a first-round draft pick?
The only one that has a chance to make the playoffs at 0-2 is the Giants, but the way they looked last night, they won't either. I say all four miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Of the four teams in the NFC, Giants, Bears, Saints, and 49ers, I would say the Giants have the best chance of making the playoffs starting 0-2.
With the toughest schedule, simply because of that NFC East.
Yeah.
The Saints got a tough schedule, too, with the Buccaneers and the Falcons.
I would say that the Niners, they played Seattle tough, but I just
Seattle's
don't know that. Yeah, I just
garbage.
Don't know that. I'm going to go Niners with the best chance of the number one pick. Although, don't sleep on the Saints. They're pretty bad this year.
You know what's weird to me, though? We were talking about how the Patriots, really good offensively, bad defensively.
Right.
Seahawks, the exact opposite. Offensively, they gave away what receivers they had. Their offensive line is just hot garbage, but yet their defense is so damn good. They won't let them lose, and Russell Wilson makes plays when he has to.
What's crazy is if you look at the four 0-2 teams in the NFC, the point differentials, you know, plus minus how many they've scored versus how many they have allowed. Would it shock you if I told you that the Giants had allowed have the highest point differential at minus 30, And the Niners have the lowest at minus 23.
Yeah, that would be. It's a little shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess this, the fact that it's only two games, but it is a little shocking
still,
for sure.
I mean, yeah, the Niners only given up, you know, what did they give up, 9 points against Seattle?
They lost 12-9, yeah.
12-9, yeah, okay.
All right, we can move on to the AFC. The AFC have five teams with an 0-2 record, including the Jets, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Colts. So if you guys want to take
same question.
Same question.
I got two that I think can make the playoffs.
Okay.
Chargers, for sure, I think can make the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
I think that, again, if they had a decent kicker, they should be 2-0.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, and this was crazy, but ex-Texan kicker Nick Novak, who we've goofed around on this show, could have almost been considered MVP a year ago, right?
Yep.
He tweeted right about the time that the rookie kicker for the Chargers missed that field goal against the Dolphins. Not goalpost, mind you. There was one post behind a soccer goal at some field they were practicing kicking on. And from about 35 yards, he hit the post dead center from 35 yards. And they're like, are you trying to send the Chargers a message? Your old team could probably use you. But look, they're not a bad team.
Nope.
They just had bad luck in two games. And they had the same thing last year. I told you, in 10 games last season and this season, decided by seven points or less.
Yep.
1-9, now 1-10.
Yeah, what a six of them. They had a 99% chance of winning and yep. ended up losing.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going Chargers for that team to make the playoffs starting 0-2. First round pick. I think I'm gonna surprise some people, and I'm not going with the Browns.
Jets.
I'm gonna go Jets. I was so close to saying Colts, but they'll get Andrew Luck back and win a few games.
Will they though?
The Jets are a disaster.
I say the Jets as well. They're awful. And
if
you're in New York right now,
garbage,
you're not gonna get scrutinized at all, those teams, are they?
Yeah. Right.
Worst media in the world
Jets
for
and
ripping
Giants.
People apart, and the Jets and Giants suck. But I'll say this. You look at what you were talking about, and the Jets are bad. They just don't look like there's hope for anything. But yet, there's a team that's 2-0 in the AFC that I think is almost a surefire bet in my that's almost as bad as the 0-2 teams, but they just found a way to win. I don't think the Baltimore Ravens offensively are anything. They don't have any running game. Flacco's not very good, and he's been dinged up. But yet, they're 2-0. So I look at that and go, yikes. I 2-0 now, that's why I said everybody gets so hot and bothered over big wins or big losses after 2 weeks. It's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Ravens either. Not
Browns are better than people think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I they're not as bad.
All right, speaking of 2-0 teams, let's go back to the NFC. Three teams in the NFC with a 2-0 record, including the Lions, the Falcons, and the Panthers. I forget the status of Cam Newton's
sprained ankle, but he should play.
Yep.
But three teams in the NFC, the Detroit Lions, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers, all 2-0. Who do you think will make the playoffs? Who do you think won't make the playoffs? Who do you think will get a first-round draft pick?
I'll mix it up. One of those three 2-0 teams will make the playoffs. Just
one?
Just one. Atlanta.
Yeah. So you don't think the Lions and you don't think the Panthers?
I do not.
I tell you what, man, the Lions have looked really good. Obviously, the one team I think that makes the of the three that makes the playoffs is the Falcons.
Yeah.
The one team that would miss it of the three, I would say Carolina, and I would say because of Cam. And is, you know, can he stay healthy? Can they keep him healthy? As Cam goes, so goes the Panthers. I think a lot of people expected this team to bounce back this year.
Everybody was looking for McCaffrey to be this savior that's just going to be this take the league by storm. Look, they struggled to score points last week.
Yeah.
They played the Bills, who aren't anything to write home about, and they were in a flat-out struggle with both teams in single digits.
And don't let the fact that they've only given up 6 points fool you. It's been against the Bills and the Niners.
No question.
Don't let that trick you into thinking that – I mean, that's a good defense. It's not 6 points over two games good. They just played some bad offenses as well.
Now, the AFC have two more teams with a 2-0 record, a total of five teams with a 2-0 record. The Denver Broncos, the Oakland Raiders, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers. Who do you think will make the playoffs? Who do you think will not make the playoffs?
I already said situation. I don't think the Ravens make the playoffs. Steelers and Broncos are for real.
Yeah, the Chiefs are for real, too.
Chiefs are for real, too.
I'm with you. I think that the Ravens, of those five teams that are undefeated right now that are 2-0, I would say the Ravens are the ones that missed the playoffs of the five. But that means the Chiefs, well, depending on who wins the West, which right now, if I had to pick, I think I'm – it's hard to bet against the Chiefs the way they've looked, which I had them last in that division. I was dead wrong on that so far.
Well, they found a running game when everybody thought after Charles left
that they weren't going to have one. That means that two of the teams in the AFC West have to get both wild cards in order for that to happen. So yeah, I would leave the Ravens as the odd team out.
Of all the 2-0 teams, do any in either conference or overall have the best record in their conference at the end of the year? The best record in their conference. So have the home court field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Yes, Steelers.
I think the Steelers have the home field throughout the AFC.
Yep.
NFC?
Falcons.
I was going to say Falcons and Steelers.
I think the Falcons need it to win it to get back to the Super Bowl. If they can make sure they have home field in the playoffs and everybody's got to go through that Mercedes-Benz Dome and they play on turf, they're like I said, they're a different team. I think if they get that, they can get back to the Super Bowl. That's the only way. And I would agree with you on the Steelers, but of course, Patriots play in a really crappy division. So,
but they're not 2-0.
No, they're not 2-0, right. But no, I'm saying they could end up with the best record instead of one of those three teams.
No concern that Big Ben gets injured?
There's always that concern.
Because that goes down.
He takes a buttload of hits and still stands out.
Yeah, he does.
His performance goes way down. So.
Let us know what you think. If you want to chime in on that, good stuff, Nick. Please give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. We're at the halfway point right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, halfway point, so 90 in the rear view and 90 on the windshield, ready to be rolled up on as we continue to follow the path. We talked about Kevin Durant yesterday and the fact that he had a second Twitter account, which he got caught crossing paths with his regular Twitter account, trying to defend himself against trolls and go back at him. But now, Nick, he's come out and basically apologized and admitted that he got caught, right?
He called it childish, he called it idiotic, and he apologized for it at the podium, I believe. So, I mean,
once you're busted, you really have no choice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it looks so obvious that he was the one who created the additional Twitter account, and now he has to face it because he's a superstar, and he's obviously in the spotlight, so... Yeah, childish move, and it just makes him look dumb. But you know, he'll have to move past it. But again, I think it's a product of all the hate that he's been getting ever since the second he signed the dotted line to go play for the Warriors. So
I mean, a couple things. One, it made me shut down my burner account first and foremost, because plus it gets exhausting defending myself with that account and confusing. But I just feel like if you can't take it, then don't be on Twitter. You know what I mean? We get it to a much smaller degree, but we get it. You know what I mean? Like all three of us on this show catch a fair amount of crap from listeners, and whether they're having fun or not, whether they're being mean or not. You know what I mean? We all get that. So we have a couple of choices. You deal with it or you get off Twitter. You get off. You don't use a text line. You don't do any of this stuff. And I'm okay if Kevin Durant isn't on Twitter. He's got to make that decision, though. If he's soft enough that what people say about him is bothering him, you know you're going to get it because you're in the spotlight. You know you're a superstar in the NBA. People are going to talk about you, and a lot of times it's not going to be nice. But you don't have to be on social media.
Not only is it optional, but he reads like the comment section. So they did an interview with him that he put on YouTube, and then some of the people were commenting under the YouTube piece. And he started getting into discussions with fans on that. So much so, I mentioned the insoles on his shoes on the new KDs. And he made sure that he pointed out to people, I broke my foot. I wear orthotics instead of regular insoles. So I won't be, quote unquote, stepping on my haters this year like you guys had talked about. Just a gift from us to you to let you know that your voices have been heard. Kind of just compare so that people know, hey, I'm responding to the things that you're saying.
Right.
I see them. And then he said... On my stature, I play basketball. I got acne. I grew up with nothing. I'm still figuring myself out in my late 20s. I slide into DMs. I make fun of my friends. I drink beer. I play Xbox. I'm closer to you than you think.
Which is cool.
Very cool.
But you're not, though.
Because you're hiding behind a second account.
Not only that, you're a multimillionaire in your late 20s on the world's biggest stage in the NBA. And you're one of the best. You're nothing like any of us. You're really not. Like, I mean, it's, I know you want to try to relate to the everyman, but you don't, like, the everyman, no, listen, no one is out there is attacking the everyman because he chose to move from company A to company B to get a $5,000 a year raise. That's the big difference. You know what I mean? You made that decision. You have to deal with that if you're going to be. This is the job you chose.
Yeah, the way I would put it is, he was closer to the common man when he was growing up before he signed all these multi-mega deals and made it big in the NBA. So it's one thing to say, "Hey, when I grew up and I had that acne and I was dealing with all that stuff." Sure, it's a fair comparison to say that. But when you get him to the point now where he's making $35 million or whatever it is a year, and with endorsements and the shoe deal alone, he's well above that. Hard to compare yourself to the common man.
Yeah. just because you do common stuff doesn't make you the common man.
Speaking of endorsement, I would imagine that he has some sort of revenue stream from Twitter, like advertisers wanting him to tweet out, and so he probably can't get off of Twitter. But hey, I mean, that's what comes along with being that good in the NBA, being a superstar, and being in the spotlight. So,
yep. Like, I mean, you have to know that what you're getting yourself into. You just, if you choose, the moment he created his account on Twitter, knowing that he's an NBA superstar, or going to be an NBA superstar, and, you know, doing all the things. I mean, you're that's why some people don't have accounts. They don't want to deal with it. And I'm fine with that. I'm not expecting celebrities and sports guys to be on social media. That's a choice. But when you make that choice, or you choose, it's just like the old, remember back in the day, they would say, never read your news clippings.
Yeah.
This is the modern day version of that. Never read tweets about you. Never read your news clippings. Like, you're either going to believe it or you're not, but if you let it get to you, you're done. Like, you can't, especially a guy like that. I don't know. I don't feel like that. I could see where it would wear on me, but that's also why I would just step away.
I would know how to react, because I'm assuming if I was Kevin Durant that I can't get off Twitter, like I said, because of the revenue stream, and I would also think that I would lose my cool. So I don't even know what I would do.
I know you would lose your cool.
I would lose my cool for sure.
So where are you guys then on height? Because this is a difficult and very fine line too. A lot of guys hire people to be them on Twitter, right? They manage the account.
I don't like that though.
I don't like it because it's not you, and inevitably they're going to say something or put something out there that looks like it came from you when it didn't. And it's not only is it not genuine, but it to me, I couldn't do it, because at least unless you checked with me on all of them, because otherwise I would feel uncomfortable that this person isn't me is going to say something.
I'm with you 100% when we talked about it yesterday and I mentioned Ted Cruz. I don't trust people enough to tweet on my behalf. I mean, I can get them trouble by myself. I don't need you to do it for me.
Yeah, a lot
you
know of politicians tend to do that.
They also have staffers that'll do it.
They'll have staffers, and if they tweet, they'll like sign it.
Yep.
And it'll say it in their profile. Hey, and if I tweet.
And I'm good with, like, if Kevin Durant wants to say, hey, this is my PR firm or this is my marketing company, they run my Twitter account. When I tweet, you'll see it, because I'll put a dash KD next to it. That's how you know that tweet came from me. Otherwise, this is just my PR firm.
Yep.
Do that. Like, and then that way you don't have to be on Twitter, and you can say, hey, I want you guys to tweet the following verbatim and put my signature on it because this is my tweet. That's totally different.
I think that's what the president does.
No. That's what the president... I know Hillary did that.
That's what the president needs.
Sadly, I think the president's tweets would be better if he let a 9-year-old tweet for him.
Yeah.
I really do.
Even if he signs it, hashtag
Nick's like, what are you doing? I don't care, Nick. These haters can call and text all they want. I don't care.
Love Donnie.
Yeah, exactly. We got this from Trill Phil. I'm Barry's burner account. Here's proof. I hate Juggalo Trey, and I love making fun of Nick and pissing off AJ.
Now, that's a troll for sure.
He is my burner account, Trill Phil. I like it. All right, something I think you guys are going to like. As you know, our city and our area has been hit hard by Hurricane Harvey. And after these devastating storms that hit our city and the surrounding areas, Gulf State Homebuyers thinks now is the time for us to come together as a community and help each other. And they want to do their part for you. So the team at Gulf States would like to reach out and let you know that they're offering their services to you guys in this tough predicament that you might be in. When you're dealing with Gulf State Homebuyers, you're dealing with a company that won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau in 2016 and 2017. So what does that mean? It means you're working with a great company. And you might be looking at your house and you might be thinking, do I spend the time and the money to fix this house up after this flood and risk this happening again? Or do I sell it and move on and you don't know what to do? Now, you have to go out and get an agent and go through all that stuff? No, you don't. You call the folks at Gulf State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They understand what a difficult decision it is to make. Do you sell or do you rebuild? And they want to do their part. So even if you're remotely interested, call Gulf State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They're going to come out. They're going to schedule an appointment with you. You'll get a free, no-obligation cash offer. That's right. You could just take the cash, walk away, find you a new home if you want to do that. Up to you. But you're not going to know what it's worth or what you can get for it cash if you don't call Gulf State Homebuyers. 281-717-6100. And listen, you're under no obligation to use them. Like I said, it's a free, no obligation offer. But let their team help you. They've got attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff. They're going to do a great job for you. They're going to handle everything. But you got to make that call, 281-717-6100, or visit them on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State Buyers, they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects back on ESPN 97.5. Almost two in the books. Still over a full hour to go. We were talking about Kevin Durant, his comparisons of himself to the common man, and we were saying it's hard to do that when you make what he was making. And ESPN just put out an article about the top players and the top salaries in the NBA and what their number is that we hear, their salary cap number, and then what they actually take home. Regardless of those two numbers, if you're Kevin Durant, you are not the common man. And, right. And they gave like the top 10 in the article, and Steph Curry was number one, his teammate. Durant wasn't on this list because he took a little less this year. But just for comparison's sake, Steph Curry's contract number for his gross pay, 34.6 mil. When you take out almost 12 mil in federal taxes, 5 mil in state taxes, a mil for his agent on the contract, and then get into all the 401k and escrows and other things, the grand total is 15.2, not anywhere near the 34.6. And either way, you are not the common man.
No.
At all.
No, when you're talking those numbers in general, I don't care how much they're taking or not taking.
You're doing all right.
You're doing just fine, Pally.
No.
Not the
question.
Common man.
About
I got some text. My wife used my toothbrush. Oh, I already did that one.
There you go.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Screening it on the fly.
I thought I deleted that one out of there. I have so many inappropriate things to say about germs. That was from Mandy. Yeah, I feel you, Mandy. I get you. In y'all's opinion, would you like to see a new NFL commissioner? And if so, who would you like to see as the new replacement?
I would be good with a new commissioner for a fresh start for the NFL. There's too many bad looks. Too much residue from a track record of inconsistencies to this point in dealing with Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I got to confirm. Didn't something come out regarding Jerry Jones
is supposedly holding up his Goodell's new contract?
Okay.
Because of the fact that obviously they've had a rift lately, especially around Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily going to pile on Roger. He certainly has made some big mistakes, but just for like reasons of like giving someone too much power, I think we need a change. I mean, he's made some crazy money being
dude's making over 40 mil a year.
Yeah, I would be just fine with it because I think he's inept and incompetent at his job.
The tougher question is who do you get to
replace him? So I was looking that up because I was like, you know, I don't know. That's not something that I go around thinking about. I mean, if you ask me, I'd let John Gruden do it. I mean, who? Yeah.
I'd get somebody young, man.
But here's the thing. So I looked it up. I looked up the five. This is just the first post I came across. Number five, Ryan Anderson. But
Why would a Rocket want to be the commissioner?
Number four, Robert Kraft. I don't know that I want an owner like Robert Kraft being. I mean, I wouldn't want Jerry Jones to be the commissioner.
Yeah, I don't
think
it's fair to have an owner become in that
Bud
sport.
Selig.
I know Bud Selig did it, and look, and I know that he's one of the most hated.
Garbage.
Right, but I'm looking at it going, do you think that there would ever be another Deflategate? Or
yeah, exactly.
Everything would be okay.
Cheats. Number three, Mark Murphy.
The Packers president.
Yep, yep. And number two on the list, Bill Cowher.
I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't mind it too much. Number one, though, I am no. I'm a big old no.
Bring it.
Condoleezza Rice. I'm a big old no.
Condi's a sports fan.
So
negative
she
for me.
Brings in a female perspective.
So
but I'm going Bill Cowher.
You were hesitant on that second one though. You're like, so
I mean she's not I don't think she's entrenched in the NFL like she needs to be to become
you
the commissioner.
Talk about a guy with experience in Bill Cowher.
Smart. She's super smart. Condoleezza Rice, exceptionally smart.
I'm sorry, I'm an age discriminator. I want someone like in their 30s. Early 40s.
Someone that's an innovator. I want someone that's going to innovate the game and you know, put some of the fun back in it. Like, I think it was a good step. I've already seen some celebrations that I liked. I saw the jump shot celebration. That was pretty cool.
That was against the Packers. Thanks for bringing that up.
What's his name that took a nap on the ball was pretty awesome as well. Someone just went memes right there on the football. Used it as a pillow.
One.
So, I mean,
must've
that's good.
Been in the Raider game.
Bring some of that back.
For those of you who don't know, memes means go to sleep.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's what
last night, though, we had the crotch grab. Which was fined with 15.
Yeah, that was
15-yard penalty.
They
hurt them, too.
That.
I don't think that he did it purposely.
I don't think. I think he was just adjusting, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of a BS one, but.
Somebody's getting on me. Chargers making the playoffs. That was a preseason prediction. I thought that they would win wild card.
That's a tough division.
It is a tough division.
But look, if they had a field goal kicker, it's basically fact and everything that you can look at. They'd be 2-0 right now.
Yeah, I think they're a good football team. I think they could still do it. If that division beats up on itself a little bit, they have a chance. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said when we were talking about Durant and the burner account and not handling it, isn't this just another product of the millennial generation being so soft and wanting everyone to like them and not being able to handle criticism? I think that has something to do with it. I think a lot of times people nowadays do struggle with being criticized. But here's the thing, though. I think anyone can take a certain amount of criticism. Is it constructive? Because you don't mistake name calling and just being mean with criticism. There's a big difference. If you want to say LeBron shouldn't have came on TV and did the announcement before he went to the Heat, that's criticism. But saying LeBron's an a-hole and selfish, that's not criticism. That's just you being a D-bag.
That's exactly right.
And there's a big difference between the two.
If your objective is to kind of point out the other side or the alternative that could have been chosen and have a fair, open discussion, that's one thing. But to get under someone's skin and know going in that that's what your objective is, that's a whole different story.
And if you want to be constructive, think of something better. What should they have done? If you didn't like LeBron's announcement, how should he have done it? And I think there's obviously a bunch of ways that you could have said that, but you know that's what constructive criticism really is. It's more about helping the person or letting the person know what they're doing wrong or what they could do better. So,
We get too much. When you talk about the people, most of the texts that we get are not constructive. They're trying to get under your skin, the negative ones. But on Twitter, they're more constructive. Sometimes they like something, they don't like something. Hey, they suggest something. And a lot of times we take those suggestions to heart and turn them into good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all good. Like somebody one time said something that I took to heart. It was constructive. They were like, hey, you do this on the radio. And then I went back and listened. I was like, you know what? They're right. And so I use that to try to get better at my job and do it. And there's a difference. I'm all for people being, you know, giving you feedback, honest feedback or criticism of how you do your job because we're in the public eye. We're on the radio. But there's a big difference between that and just texting the show and going, you suck. You're stupid. All right. Well, I think the big question becomes, why do you listen? Right? Just like with Durant, why do you watch Durant? If you hate him so much, why do you watch him? But, you know, there's always going to be those guys. That's why I say, it at some point, some weeks, we've just said, you know what, I'm not reading text this week.
Well, you know me, I haven't forever.
Yeah, so that's the same thing. On Twitter, you just have to say, if you're Durant, you know what, I'm just not going to get on Twitter right now or ever if I can't handle it.
Nick it's and I were talking thing. About it, though.
By the way, Bill Cosby and Donald Trump, neither one of those should be running the NFL, so
no.
No.
Absolutely.
I'm a big negative on those
Nick
texts.
And I were talking about the world champ. Hopefully his health allows him to be on the court as good as he is on Twitter. Joel Embiid.
Oh,
is absolutely
hilarious.
Fantastic. His tweet from his account last night was, Joel Embiid is better than MJ ever was.
That's great.
It's awesome.
That is really good,
and he
man.
Put fat, hashtag facts, hashtag burner Twitter.
Dude, that's strong.
Yep. I loved it.
I really like that.
And he actually I need to follow that guy. At Choir Sultan, which was the private Instagram handle that allegedly belonged to Durant.
Timothy Richardson on Twitter said, KD needs to let Wendy's run his Twitter account. Hilarious, because if you don't remember, Wendy's is out there roasting fools left and right on Twitter. Like somebody was, they got into a back and forth war with some guy about Burger King. Wendy's tweeted out the four for $4 meal, a tray full of mouth filling glory. To which Burger King responded, $5 for $4 because five is better than four. The guy was like, what are you firing back, Wendy's? And they responded, edible food. Like, they're just roasting yeah. fools. Maybe he should let Wendy's do it. They could work on a sponsorship deal.
And speaking of that, and speaking of Twitter and social media, if you are going to try and be that guy or that person that wants to roast someone, make sure you get the right address to the people when you're sending it out there. We'll cover that in a whole lot more in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.